Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Do, do, gobble, do, 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 gobble, do, 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 gobble, do, 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 gobble, do, 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 gobble.
Welcome back. 17th of the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Duke of Small Business. And I'm glad you're here. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. And the high priest of small business is our good buddy Stephen Baum. Stephen is the author of What Made Jack Welch Jack Welch. He's an outstanding Vistage leader, a significant contributor and participant in that organization, and advises small business owners just like you and me. He's got the credentials, folks, all the way back for many decades. Stephen, thanks again for being here. One of the things that that we're dealing with today in what I'm calling the age of the customer is something that wasn't really a big deal, not a scary deal for most of my career and your career, Stephen. And that's the concept of disruption. The age of the customer, technology, the internet, all these, all the digital age has created enough, has increased the velocity of change so much that we're experiencing, everybody's experiencing disruptions these days, aren't we?
That's certainly true. And if you're not trying to figure out how to disrupt yourself, you're probably going to miss a big opportunity, and you will have a big problem.
Well, and you know, I'll just say one other quick thing, and I want you to talk about disrupting yourself, because that's an important point. But when I talk to, you know, the difference is, Stephen, is when you and I were coming up as pups, if you told a business owner, if you told a business, you're going to experience some significant challenges in the marketplace with your customers, That business person would immediately start looking at his competition. Today, disruptions to me and you are coming from people that nobody's ever heard of before. They're not even in our industry, let alone one of our competitors. Now, go ahead.
Well, there's an enormous amount of money available to invest in new companies. There's more money than there are good deals. And one of the things that venture capital and private equity firms are doing is they're investing in companies that disrupt a marketplace.
Yep.
That turn it upside down. And what's different about having a business today is there's a global army of people interested in putting you out of business.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't just the two or three competitors you can see. So if you think about Uber in transportation.
Right.
If you think about Airbnb in local stays. If you think about Amazon and all sorts of businesses that are affecting
Netflix,
all of those.
Look what Netflix did to Blockbuster.
There's just hundreds of examples, mm-hmm, of new entrants into a business shaking it up and breaking it up, and carving out what starts out as a niche, but gets bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's a scary thought, and you may think you can't do much about it. But if you pay attention to how you would put yourself out of business and you begin to think, how do I become more and more defensible, then you're doing the right thing. There was a small business some years ago in employment pre-screening, back when the service was slow, the costs were high, there were a lot of human errors in it. And there was a small business owner who decided that he would follow his dream. And he would change the nature of the business and decide he would disrupt other people.
Hmm.
And what he did is he started to automate as much of the processes as he could and pay his own money, wrote out big checks for computers and software to take it from manual into a digital age. He did a whole lot of things like hiring really good people and eventually got big enough to where he could disrupt his smaller competitors, buy them for their customer base,
huh,
and integrate their businesses into his. And all of a sudden, he became almost the number two or number three independent outfit in that business. And he didn't stop there. He said, what else will put me out of business? And he said, well, If anybody makes an arrangement to get the data from the municipalities in a quick and efficient way that the municipalities like, I'm done. So he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept on working on individual ways to make his business defensible.
What would be the next thing that would put me out of business?
That's
okay,
exactly
this is
right.
What this is what it is. I have to go do that now.
So I know that in some businesses this is controversial, but in addition, he invested in operations in India and the Philippines, lowered his cost a great deal, and then brought in some process engineering people to make sure his processes happened as fast as humanly possible and with as few defects as possible, all of which cost him money at the time. This was all investments.
Mm-hmm.
And then, when the Internet came of age, he decided, I'm going to develop other products that allow the clients to do some of this on their own, self-serve.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody does that.
Yep.
And so he began
the key to relevance is when you help your customers help themselves.
And that's what he was doing. So over the course of time, he front-ended a lot of this investment himself.
Mm-hmm.
He was a checkbook manager in the beginning who became a CEO. But he wrote out a bunch of big checks in the belief that that was the only way his business would survive. Now, back on the subject of cash, he was very careful with cash. And he's the kind of guy that would pick up paper clips from the floor to send a message to the employees. But the relationships he had with the banks was the way you described yours, which is he did his cash flow projections. He kept compensating balances at a couple of banks.
They knew in advance.
And they knew in advance exactly what was going on. They lined up at the door to loan him money.
Steven, I got to stop because I got to go to a break. But before we go, I want to say something that I talk about a lot on the show. And it's in my book. It's okay to fall in love with what you do. It's not okay to fall in love with how you do it. And that's what this guy did. He was telling you about. He fell in love with what he did, but he didn't fall in love with how he did it. Tintail, right back with Stephen Baum after these messages. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.